I want to talk this morning about our God who gives. Our God is a giver. He gives us stuff, yeah? And, you know, I sometimes think, you know, we're coming up to Christmas and we get really busy. And I sometimes wonder if our Saviour has been stolen out of Christmas. Yeah? I'm just thinking in a lot of people's lives, Jesus has been stolen out of Christmas. We've almost sterilized the spiritual bit. Yeah, we've tried to take out Christmas. They're trying to bring in happy holidays. Yeah, and that's been popular in America for years, and we know what happens there tends to come to us about 20 years on. Yeah, and then happy holidays is the norm for them. It isn't happy holidays. Yeah, we're talking about Christmas, Christ, right back in there. And quite often we say, are you ready for your holidays? What does that mean? Are you ready for your holidays? That means, have you got your tree out loft? Have you put your decorations up? Have you baked your Christmas cake? Have you got your shopping sorted? Have you bought your presents? Have you wrapped them? Are you getting ready for Christmas? Have you ordered your turkey? No, I haven't. Thank you for the reminder. But, you know, that's what getting ready for Christmas is, isn't it? Are you getting ready for Christmas? I just challenge you. Is that really getting ready for Christmas? It's not, is it? That's not. It's lovely. And I think, you know, I'm sorry to disagree with you ladies, but it isn't about giving the gifts. It isn't about the hampers. It's part of it. And it's part of what we do as a response to God's love. We give because he's a giver. Therefore, we are givers. It's part of it. But if we make the whole of Christmas about hampers or about our Christmas dinner, then I have to say we've missed it. We have lost the plot. We've missed it. Yeah, so, I mean, there's schools where they're taking out the word, the Christian part of the nativity. And we've had a nativity today that was really, really cute. Wasn't it sweet? Yeah, the little ones that can't sit still, that have to wander around. And, yeah, but that's all part of nativity. But if we think that that's it, we've missed it. It's lovely and it's a part of it, but it's not the whole thing. We have to remember that Christmas is about Christ. It's about our God that gives. It's about our God that came to earth, that chose to. It was his choice. How often do we do things because we have to? Or because somebody presses us a bit? Jesus chose to come to earth. Well, that absolutely blows my mind. Who on earth would choose to come to earth? Yeah? Who would choose to come and be born in a stable, a dirty, smelly stable? Who would choose to live a life as a human when he was God? He knew everything. He was omnipresent. He could be everywhere. Yet he chose to be in a tiny, tiny space. Physically confined. Yeah? Can you really take that on board? What did he give up to come to earth? He could do anything, go anywhere, be everywhere. Yet he chose to live in a physical body here on earth. There was the guy who went to the moon, let me find his name, James Irwin. He said, he experienced stuff that I'll never do. I'll never walk on the moon. I'm pretty certain of it. I would quite like to, but I'm pretty certain it's not going to happen. So he's experienced stuff that I've never experienced. But he says, there's something more important than man walking on the moon. And that is God walking on earth. How awesome is that? God chose to come here. It's not about that sweet, pretty little nativity. It's about God walking here on earth. So in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 30-ish, sorry, Matthew, yeah, there was an angelic encounter. You see, I think angels have been trained. I think they've been trained that as soon as they appear, they have to say, fear not. Because they know, don't they? Whoa! Yeah, because angels, again, angels aren't these pretty, and I know our angels flapped on and off the stage today. Yeah, but angels are pretty awesome beings. Yeah, they're not the little flappy off the stage things. They're awesome. So if we met an angel, I'm pretty sure we'd be in shock. Yeah. So she met an angel. She had an encounter. And then he says, though, in the 6 months, refers to Elizabeth 6 months being pregnant. So he tells her, you know, something has happened, yeah, to somebody else that couldn't happen, but has happened. So he announces the miraculous. He's almost like warning her, something miraculous has already happened, but there's going to be more. Yeah? So she encounters God. This is a virgin. This is a young lady who's pure of heart, who's pure. God chose this young woman to become the host, to carry the Son of God. She was a virgin. In the town of Nazareth, yeah, was that small town, and that small womb, tiny little space. So he's gone from everywhere to a small womb. How awesome is that? God chose that. So he chose to live there. And we heard there's that phrase, can anything good come from Nazareth? Yeah? Clearly it did. Can anything good come from Ollerton? Yes, it can. Yeah? That's not just Bob the Builder either. Yes, it can. Yeah? So Jesus came to live in the womb of this pure young lady. Are you ready to receive God? Are you ready for an angelic encounter? Her heart was good. Her heart was pure. Is your heart ready? Jesus came those 2,000 years ago, but he comes again. And again, and again. He's right here today. So is your heart ready this morning? Are you ready to accept Jesus in a new way, a fresh way? Yes? No? Yeah? I want to ask you, are you ready this morning? Because Jesus wants to come, and he revolutionized her life. Yeah? Revolutionized it. She was pledged to be married to a man, Joseph, a descendant of David. The right man for the job. Yeah, the right person. Fulfilling all of the history, all of the prophecy around the coming of Jesus. Sometimes we need to be the right man in the right place. And even when we look at a situation, we look at it and we think, actually, I really don't know. Are you ready to listen to God speaking to you? Sometimes we're in situations and we think, this just doesn't quite look right. She's a virgin. She's pregnant. She must have slept with somebody else. She's trying to make up this story. It can't be true. Could you imagine how he felt? It must have been awful. He was betrothed to her. He loved her. They were going to be married. Yet she did this thing. Yeah, but he was ready for an encounter with God. Not only was he ready for that encounter, he listened. That's the issue, isn't it? Sometimes we hear things, but we don't do anything about it. We don't actually listen. It's important that we're ready for that encounter with God, that we're ready for him to come into our hearts, that we're thoughtful, we're thinking of him, that our hearts are pure, and that we respond to what he's asked. So Joseph could have blown it out of the water, couldn't he? But he didn't. He did as God called him. And in this story, I think there's some really amazing things. Because we could treat it just as a story. It's a nice story. It's a lovely nativity. But if we do that, we have absolutely missed it. This nativity today is the absolute center of our faith. Yeah? It's absolutely crucial. If we do not believe that Jesus was born of a virgin birth, if we don't believe that he was actually born and lived on earth, then what are we doing? So we need to believe, because there are some key things that we've got to take hold of. Jesus was born. He was fully human. Yeah, he lived in an ordinary, I don't know if there's an ordinary family actually anywhere, but he lived in an ordinary family. Yeah, so he lived like us. But he was fully divine. That's the bit we can't always get our heads around. I struggle. I can't get my head around that concept. But he was fully divine, yet fully human. So he lived like this. He had brothers. Yeah? But he was not the son of Joseph. He was the son of God. So it was a normal family. He talks about him having brothers. He had brothers. Mary was a virgin when she became pregnant. She did have other children. Yeah, Matthew tells her, Matthew, Mark, and John. Yeah. So she did have other children. But when she conceived Jesus, it was through God and God alone. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." What a beautiful greeting. Don't know about you, but I'd like God to say that to me. Yeah. When I meet God, I want him to say, "Wow, well done, love." Yeah? Do you want that? Yeah? So we need to think and check ourselves, don't we? Need to check ourselves. The angel recognizes that Mary's got a God-developed character. God wants to develop your character. And sometimes that's why we go through stuff. We all go through stuff. And going through stuff is God developing our character. So we have a God-developed character. Yeah, it says that she has a God-developed character, a young teenager who accepted God's grace. She'd been living it out in peace, quietness, and purity. But she had the free bestowal of God's unmerited favor. God wants to pour his unmerited favor on you this morning. You don't deserve it. I'm sorry. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But God wants to pour down on you his unmerited favor. Wow, God, more of you, God. I want it all about you, God. I don't want it about me. I want it about you, God. I want to come to you, God, with a heart that's pure, a heart that's ready, a heart that's willing to change, a heart that's ready to go through stuff. Ooh. Yeah, are you willing to go through stuff? Because it's not always nice stuff. By going through stuff and letting God develop his God character in your life. So talking about God's gifts, God gave Mary several gifts, really. There's that gift giving, isn't there, between Mary and God? God gave Mary, she became pregnant. That was a gift. That's a beautiful gift. Has to have blown her mind. Had to have. Yeah, he gave her a gift. He then gave her a son. So she had a normal pregnancy. And she gave birth. So she gave birth to a son. So through that way, he's like his brothers. Yeah, he was born, but his father was God. He was also given the name Jesus. So the before, yeah, the announcement is being dictated to Mary even before she's pregnant. His name will be Jesus. So she's told, here's a gift, here's the name. This is the name you should give him. So in this particular case, the father selected the name. I don't know about in your house, but we had some tussles over names. Yeah, what name will Rachel be? What name will Daniel be? Rachel was going to be Rebecca. Till she were born. Yeah. So we changed it at the last minute. That was Mike giving way to me. I think he saw what I'd gone through and thought, I'll let her have a name. Bless him. Yeah. So Jesus' name was given by God. So it's an important, and names are important. Jesus, the most precious name we could ever hear, the most precious name we could ever speak. Yeah, the most precious name we could allow to come into our lives and change us. It's the most beautiful name. So Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Yeah, that's what it is. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus, there's something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will pass away. But there's something about that name. The name of Jesus. And Jesus, he will be great. So Jesus is going to be great. Great means exceedingly mighty, extraordinary, splendid. So Jesus was going to be exceedingly mighty and extraordinary. And he was, and he is. Yeah, our Jesus, that beautiful name Jesus that we declare, is great. And this great God chooses to come and live with us today. In our small hearts, he chooses to live. He will be great. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. I'm going to read that bit again, yeah? The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So his word is power. When we declare the name of Jesus, there is power. So let's not be glib about using the name Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Yeah? Do you get excited about Jesus? Well, some of you do. Yeah, have the rest of you fallen asleep this morning? Yeah? We need to get excited. We need to get excited about Jesus. Jesus gets excited about you. He loves you. He gets excited. He's so looking forward to all the things that you're going to do. All those amazing things that you're going to do in his name. He's really excited for you. In his great love, with his great compassion flowing through you, you can do some amazing things. We often think of sacrifice when we think of the cross. But I'd like to say when Jesus came to be in that crib, that was sacrifice. Yeah? When he allowed himself to be contained, that was sacrifice at the beginning. So sacrifice goes right through Jesus' life. So I have to say, you know, as Christians, guess what? Sacrifice goes right the way through our lives. From our birth, from our Christian birth, from that moment when we say, God, in here. Come in here, God. I need you. I accept you. I accept that when you died on the cross for me at Calvary, that was to save me from my sins. Because there is no greater sinner than I. Yeah? Sacrifice. I give over my life to you, God. You have your way in me. That's sacrifice, isn't it? I'm letting go of my agenda. And I'm going to take up your agenda. So right from the beginning of your Christian life, the sacrifice. We don't like that word very much, do we? But I want to say, Jesus lived a life of sacrifice. And if we're to follow in his footsteps, we will need to live a life of sacrifice. There are things we'll need to give up. There are things we'll need to do differently. There are things we'll just have to absolutely let go of, turn away from. Some of those sacrifices may be easier than others. But there may come a tough one. But I want to say to you, God has got something amazing for you. And through that sacrifice, he's developing your God character. So it'll be worth it. Absolutely worth it. I can guarantee you, I have been through some stuff over the years. And I've been through some really hard stuff. But I know that God has changed me. And I'm better for going through what he's asked me to go through. I'm better for letting go of stuff. I'm better from turning away from stuff. I'm better for learning to do things God's way and not my way. So it's better. That sacrifice, that living, that life of sacrifice is better. So his great love, his compassion, and his great sacrifice. He longs to make changes in your life. His heart burns for you. You know what you like over your kids? You just love, and your grandkids even more. Sorry, Rachel. Yeah? But you just love them, don't you? You do anything for them. And when they're hurting, it hurts. Yeah? God feels that so much more for you. Yeah? So much more for you. So let's accept that love. Let's make some space for that love. That might take some sacrifice. But I assure you, it's worth it. He was the Son of the Most High God.
Whoa.
The Son of the Most High, with whom I am well pleased. Most High in the Old Testament is El Elyon in the Hebrew. And it's a statement of God's surpassing supremacy. No one is higher than he. No one. Nothing. Now, sometimes we might make our nativity higher than him. We might make our food hampers higher than him. We might make our worship team higher than him. But nah. Jesus is supreme. He is the Most High God. And his kingdom will never end. Never, ever end. I mean, poor Mary, bless her. She's probably just trying to get her head around the next 9 months. Yeah? But his kingdom will never end. Ever. Sometimes we get stuck in our finite minds of 50 years or so. Yeah? We think 50 is really old. Yeah, well, because you've caught me now, Sarah. But we have this thing about age and time, and God isn't bound up by that. Yeah, his kingdom will never end. There are no limits. He has unlimited, absolute reign. Our God is awesome. Yeah. We follow an awesome God, yeah, who's bigger than that stuff we're going through. He's bigger than your financial problems. He's bigger than your relationship issues. He's bigger than your phone dying. He's bigger than all of that stuff that we sometimes get so embroiled in. And that's part of life. But guess what? Jesus might not have known his phone dying. Yeah? But he might have understood how difficult it is to get hold of somebody or catch up with somebody or for somebody to understand what he was trying to say. Because... Is that Siri? Is that Siri? Yeah. So Jesus went through those same kind of struggles we did. I'm sure he had relationship issues where people didn't get him, didn't understand him. He went through the same stuff. That was him as the man. Yeah. So he went through stuff. But he will be the Holy One. Yeah, the Holy One. How amazing is that? The Holy Spirit is going to bring about this wonder in Mary's womb. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. That overshadowing bit, my imagination runs riot on that. The thought of God just overshadowing you. And I would say, I think God wants to overshadow us. He wants his Holy Spirit to come down on us in a fresh way this morning, in a new way. The Holy Spirit wants to come down upon you in a way that touches your heart, that changes your thinking, that changes how you then do things. He wants you to have soft hearts this morning, ready for just being overshadowed by the presence of God. Let God come in today to do something in you that perhaps you weren't expecting. I'm pretty sure Mary wasn't expecting God or the Holy Spirit to come and tell her she was going to give birth or become pregnant. Yeah? Not in her wildest imagination. But God this morning wants to take you beyond your wildest imagination and do something in your heart. Are you ready for that? Let's just stop for a minute. I want you to just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Just talk to God where you are. Offer yourself to him now. That sacrifice right now of God, I'm here. I'm going to ignore my feelings. I'm going to let go of my situation. I acknowledge that you are the Holy One.